Are you ready for some Trivial Pursuit? Remember that game? Name something significant that happened on December 11th, 1925. Anyone? You don't know this? On this day, Pope Pius XI proclaimed a new holy day in the Roman Catholic Church, the Feast of Christ the King. So, you might now be thinking, what does this have to do with us? After all, we don't look to Rome for guidance, nor do we owe allegiance to the bishop there, who is the Pope. Our heritage flows from, well, those who rebelled against that kind of authority. And our brethren roots grew not just out of the Reformation of the church, begun nearly 500 years ago. No, we were a movement. We were offshoots of what is sometimes called the Radical Reformation, a Christian movement which teaches a different kind of authority and power. We believe that it, authority and power, is not invested in bishops or in kings, in some religious or political hierarchy. Instead, as we see it, true authority and power is entrusted by God into the hands of the everyday servants of the true King, Jesus, into the community of believers gathered around the Word. Now, back in 1925, Pope Pius XI had various motives in getting his worldwide flock to turn attention from the nations in which they lived and to focus upon the reign of Christ, giving their allegiance to the real leader, the real leader, the true King of all, Jesus. That wasn't a bad move, especially in the context of that time period between two world wars and the increasing secularization of society. Of course, if Christ is king and the Pope is his representative, well, we know where this is going. It's an earthly power struggle. And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, over the years, this holy day, the Feast of Christ the King, has made its way into the wider church, even into traditions such as ours, which do not see one particular day as necessarily any holier than the next. The date has even been shifted from what Pope Pius XI proclaimed. Originally, it was set on the last Sunday of October, perhaps a not-so-subtle dig at Protestants and their celebrated anniversary of Martin Luther nailing his 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church on October 31st, 1517, thus starting the Protestant Reformation. Of course, the battles between Catholics and Protestants have cooled down a bit since 1925. Christ the King, or Reign of Christ Sunday in the Christian calendar, now followed by many churches, is today celebrated toward the end of November. It marks the end of each church year. Next Sunday is not only the beginning of the season of Advent, a period of repentance in preparation for the coming of Christ, it is also the beginning of a brand new church year. Now, as I've said before, we don't slavishly follow this Christian calendar and observe all these holy days. Now, I do find some guidance in the suggestions of scripture readings for every Sunday that goes with this calendar. It helps me to preach not just on my favorite Bible verses, but rather nudges me to touch more of the width and breadth, the height and the depth of the Word of God. Still, I don't always follow these suggestions from the church year. Sometimes, for instance, Christ the King, or Reign of Christ Sunday, falls on the same day that we in this country traditionally celebrate as Thanksgiving Sunday. Do we then choose one over the other, or blend them together? Most of you probably don't care one way or the other. You just come to worship God, no matter what Sunday it is, to fill up your spirit's tanks for another week and to connect with other believers. Does it really matter that we celebrate Christ the King Sunday? No. However, it does matter whether or not we focus our attention upon and give our allegiance to Christ every Sunday, even every day. It's sort of like Thanksgiving. In celebrating Thanksgiving this past week, does that mean that we're only thankful once a year? Not at all. It's helpful to have a special day, though, especially if we allow it to be more than a, well, stuff your face, watch football, be nice to your family, no matter how hard it may sometimes be, day. Thanksgiving turns us, if we are open to being turned, toward the source of every blessing. Now thank we all our God. Likewise, to celebrate the reign of Christ on this last Sunday of the church year doesn't mean we don't seek to make Jesus our sovereign leader the other 364 days of our year. Not at all. Of course, what does it mean for Christ Jesus to be king of our lives? To be the one who reigns over our very being? Now, that may have been an easier question to understand back in the days of that tall man, John Noss. Remember the children's story this morning? John Noss, who refused to serve as a guard to the king of Prussia because he was already serving as a soldier of his King Jesus. Now, 2 centuries later, when Pope Pius XI first proclaimed this day, there were still a few kings out there. However, the era of royal monarchs was almost at an end. For us today in this country, the Kings, well, they're a basketball team from Sacramento, or just a bit of nostalgia. What does it mean for Christ Jesus to be king, to be commander-in-chief, so to speak, of our lives? You know, we sometimes can't even agree on what it means for someone to be president of our country, let alone decide who that person is. You know, by the way, I am glad our recent presidential election didn't hinge on some hanging chad in Florida, like in 2000. Remember that election? How many of us had ever even heard of the word chad before that post-election fight? It was a new word to me at the time, not even in my old 7th edition of the Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. As we have since shifted almost totally to computer screen ballots in the last 12 years, chad is now an archaic word. For those who have no idea what I'm talking about, chad was, chad were, is it singular or plural? It's the holes punched out of a computer card. What is a computer card? In other words, chad is our trash. Trash, hopefully, recycled. How interesting that our decision in 2000 for what is arguably the most powerful position in the world came down to a bunch of trash. Well, let's not talk trash when it comes to Jesus. Deciding what it means for Christ to be our king, our sovereign, our ruler, our authority, our leader, isn't merely a matter of punching a hole in a card, is it? We must confess, however, that sometimes that's nearly what it amounts to. Just a bag of chad. We claim Jesus as our Lord of Lords, our Prince of Peace, our King of Love, our True Shepherd, but we live however we darn well please, as if it isn't so. Now, the story we just heard of the coerced conversation between Jesus and Pilate leading up to his crucifixion is one of the few times our Lord himself spoke of being a king. Now, his parables included kings as characters, but rarely did he claim the title for himself. You may recall that when he was nailed to the cross, the Romans put a sign on the framework saying that this was, quote, the King of the Jews. It was an act of mocking both this dying man and those who wanted him dead. It was hardly a statement of faith. And yet, strangely enough, in the upside-down nature of God's kingdom, this proposition was true. My kingdom doesn't consist of what you see around you, Jesus had earlier told Pilate. In other words, we need to see things differently if we wish to understand real sovereignty. You know, take that marvelous passage in the Apostle Paul's letter to the believers in Philippi. In it, Jesus, at whose name every knee bows and every tongue confesses as Lord, Jesus is portrayed as releasing, letting go, divesting himself of his position and power as the Son of God. True kingship, according to that passage, is revealed as being, well, a servant. Servanthood. Now, about this understanding of who Jesus was and is, Paul encouraged the Philippians then and us now to allow it to completely color our lives. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, he wrote. Now, from this passage, the brethren have derived our calling to seek the mind of Christ. Now, that's an interesting proposition. To seek the mind of Christ. But it's more than a proposal for us to consider, an issue on a ballot that we can vote upon. It's a person. Someone who doesn't just tell us the way to live in five easy steps, but who shows us the way, sometimes following a difficult, winding, hard to understand path. Someone who, by his own admission, is the way. When we speak of Christ being our King, this is not just some theological or philosophical statement of truth to debate. It's a person. Someone who doesn't just tell us the truth, but who lives it out. Someone who, by his own admission, embodies the truth. Now, Christ the King is not just a Sunday to celebrate the ending of a church year. It's an everyday calling to reorient our lives as servants of that King, a ruler who leads by a different kind of power. In our love feast, as brethren, we have an enactment of how Jesus, our King, leads. In fact, when a brother in Christ kneels before me in love feast and washes my feet, as is our practice, this is not just the hands and face of that particular man. This is Jesus being embodied in my brother's life. How Christ is reigning as King in this world. It is an awesome thing to then kneel before another brother and be as Christ to him. As followers of Jesus, we live with a different understanding of power. Like our forebearer, John Knox, power for us does not involve how tall or strong we are, or are not, physically. Some of the most powerful people I know would hardly be considered powerful by the standards of our society. Nor would they be considered, well, the most attractive, the most influential, or the most wise. They are just everyday folks who are simply seeking the mind of Christ, day in and day out. And you know what? They make a bigger difference in this world than any pope or president or king. Now, as we sing our final hymn, Jesus Shall Reign, number 319 in your hymnal, I invite you to ponder how Christ is Lord of all. Now, don't think only in future tense, however, kicking the can down the road, as if it has nothing to do with the here and now. As you sing, remember that he is unlike any leader this world places into a position of power. Christ Jesus is a servant king. Too often we Christians portray him otherwise, and then we wonder why people wouldn't want to join in the song. As you lift up your voice, I encourage you to consider how he shall reign in your life today, in your corner of the world, not off in some other distant place. How will Jesus be embodied in you this week? After all, it's one thing to say Christ is King or Jesus is Lord. It's another to follow where he leads.